Statewide satellite distribution of this program is made possible by the Lawrence Group, providing residents throughout New York State with total insurance coverage.
This program is a production of WAMC News. From Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly half-hour review of New York State government and politics. Your host is political scientist and syndicated columnist Dr. Alan Shartok of the State University.
Hello and welcome to the Legislative Gazette. Some New York State Republicans want presidential hopeful Jack Kemp to run against U.S. Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan. And the state's most powerful Republican leader has publicly supported an increase in the minimum wage. We'll have those stories, and we'll see why Lieutenant Governor Stan Lundeen thinks a George Bush nomination for president would be good for the Democrats. All these stories and more coming up on this week's Legislative Gazette. Ed Lurie is the executive director of the New York State Republican Committee and a man who knows a great deal about state politics. And that's just what we talked about this week.
The Bush-Dole contest up until now, where do you see things at?
I think it's going to be a long battle. I don't think either candidate should be discouraged. Iowa will carry Dole into Super Tuesday, and New Hampshire will carry Bush into Super Tuesday. So we're looking at least till Super Tuesday before we see an apparent winner or loser.
Who do you see in the lead right now?
Well, I equate the Bush campaign a lot to the Reagan 1980 campaign. Bush lost Iowa, then went into New Hampshire, won it, and then the states just fell one after another for Ronald Reagan. I think a lot of that scenario is being played for George Bush.
Most New York State Republican chairmen are firmly in the Bush camp, is that right?
That is correct.
And your chairman, Mr. Colavita from Westchester, is in the Bush camp?
That's correct.
Who's the other side? It's Alphonse D'Amato, right?
There are several county chairmen who are also supporting Bob Dole. There is a national committeeman named Richard Rosenbaum, who ran for governor in 1982, also supporting the senator.
When you say he ran for governor, you don't mean Rosenbaum was ever on the ballot, do you?
No. In 82, he was involved in our convention.
Right. Okay. Ed, fallout. Is this such a divisive battle between the Bush forces and the Dole forces that we're going to see a sort of D'Amato everyone else split in the state for a while now in the Republican Party?
I don't think so. I think it shows two viable candidates who are very qualified to be president of the United States, and both sides believing their candidates a little bit better than the other.
I think
by comparison of Dole Bush versus the Seven Dwarfs, I think we look much better.
Apparently, we now have indications that Al D'Amato is calling on Jack Kemp on a public talk show to withdraw from the race because he's pulling votes away from Dole. What do you make of that?
I think the senator is working very hard for Bob Dole. As far as U.S. Senate's concerned, Jack Kemp would be a hell of a candidate.
Let me make this clear that he's saying now that Kemp ought to get out of the presidential race and run for Senate.
Understand. Mm. And that decision has to be Jack Kemp's. The congressman has to feel very good about his third place showing, and I still think he'll be in it on Super Tuesday.
A lot of people think that Jack Kemp is a ideal vice presidential candidate, and if he is, then, of course, it would make a whole different scenario. Even if he were going to lose the election, it might behoove him to stay in the race.
But the only vote that counts for vice president is whoever gets the presidential nomination, and you are absolutely right. The only way you can show your wares is by staying in it for the long haul.
Uh-huh.
So, therefore, the scenario of him dropping out and running for Senate is a long shot right at this point in time.
Your counterpart, John Marino, recently told me that he thought that you folks were essentially bankrupt when it came to a candidate to run for the U.S. Senate. Now we have D'Amato talking about Kemp. You got anybody else in the wings?
Yeah, we do. But as I indicated, we don't want to get into a name game because all the name game does is highlight some names, and then if they say no, it looks like we are searching for a candidate rather than recruiting a candidate, and there's a world of difference between the two. running for a U.S. Senate or any statewide office in a state like of New York takes personal commitment, takes professional commitment, takes sacrifice of family, friends.
You haven't mentioned money.
Well, professional sacrifice means money, I guess. But you are absolutely right, Alan. It takes a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort, and it changes your life. And no one's going to decide that tomorrow.
Now, understanding a lot of people are for the vice president, does it ever cross your mind that there's been, I've talked to the governor about this and to some others, who say that Dole would be a much more effective candidate to get Democrats to vote for the Republican candidate? How would that play out on the state level and legislative elections, other places? Wouldn't it be better for the party to have Dole as opposed to Bush?
Yeah, we're looking into a crystal ball. There'd be a lot of people who would have argued in 1980 Ronald Reagan's going to be a disaster for New York, and he turned out to be just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be a lot of people who argued Mario Cuomo could never win an election on his own going into 1982. There's a lot of people who believed Al D'Amato was going to be a one-term senator, and he's a very popular individual Republican and public official. So, I mean, who is best, who is worst, time will tell. There's a lot of factors that go into becoming a national candidate, and I think George Bush has all the credentials to do that.
Ed Lurie, Executive Director of the New York State Republican Committee. He may be the most powerful individual in the state Senate, but rarely are his words heard directly. This week, Bruce Robertson reports on some of the priorities of Senate Majority Leader Warren Anderson.
Two of the biggest issues during last year's legislative session were ethics and solid waste disposal. Although ethics may not dominate political discussions this session, there are still some who are concerned about the public's cynicism regarding the ethics of the state legislature. Many ethics reforms were passed last year, including financial disclosure of legislators' and staff's outside holdings and limitations on lawyer legislators practicing in front of state agencies. But one change that did not occur, although it was suggested, is financial audits of lawmakers' budgets. At a gathering of the Legislative Forum in Albany, New York this week, Senate Majority Leader Warren Anderson spoke of the many issues that concerned him, including establishing a financial auditing system for all lawmakers and their staff.
Last year, we created several commissions that are currently studying this subject, and I'm sure that as a result of that, their recommendations and some things that we're doing in-house, that there will be more disclosure of the records than is currently the case. Much of the data that people seek is available, but it takes a little work to dig it out, and a lot more detailed information will be available when we finish an accounting process that is now going on, an auditing process that is now going on, in which we've hired, and each house, I guess, is going to do this, somebody from a professional accounting firm to give us guidance in establishing more controls over our expenditure.
Anderson says he does not expect to establish an identical auditing system such as the one in Congress, which documents all spending from staff salaries to magazines and coffee expenses, but he says New York's auditing system will be comprehensive. Another important issue this year is what to do about the garbage crisis. The controversy over solid waste management has been whether or not it's the state's role to intervene and help localities with their garbage problems. Governor Cuomo says it's not the state's responsibility to assist localities, while members of the Assembly say there needs to be a compromise, but the state can't completely take responsibility away from the localities. Assembly members are also pushing for more alternatives for solid waste disposal, and Senator Anderson and the Republicans say the waste disposal situation has reached crisis proportions and that it's the state's responsibility to intervene and care for localities.
The Republican Senate, at least, feels that the time has come for the state to assist localities in the construction and the disposal of solid waste. It's a problem that we feel now is almost too big for many localities in the state, and we think that the state should step in and help in this area, as it's done in several other areas.
These are just some of the positions on issues that need to be resolved during the 1988 legislative session. At the legislative forum, Anderson also spoke about the need to put a cap on state spending and to increase workers' compensation and unemployment benefits. For the Legislative Gazette, in Albany, this is Bruce Robertson.
As you know, the New Hampshire primary is over. The results are in. This week, Dave Gilletly spoke with Lieutenant Governor Stan Lundeen about his reaction to that exciting primary.
Well, I think both the Republican and the Democratic nominations are much more open today than they were before the New Hampshire primary. If Senator Dole had won New Hampshire in the Republican primary, I believe that Vice President Bush would have been seriously wounded. Perhaps his candidacy would have failed after losing Iowa and then New Hampshire. At least he would have been in deep trouble heading into the South. Now I think you have at least a two-person hand-to-hand combat kind of a battle that I would imagine will last for some time into the future. The Democratic primary results likewise seem to assure that we're going to have a competitive situation for some period of time. Had Dukakis been upset in New Hampshire, perhaps some other candidate would have gone into the South with a tremendous thrust and become the front runner. As it is, it seems to me that Dukakis is the most likely nominee of the party. He only won his sister's state of New Hampshire, but he's got a lot of money and a lot of support, and he seems to be better organized on a national basis than most of the other candidates. Yet the South on Super Tuesday will be contested, with Senator Gore being a factor. Jesse Jackson certainly will play a major role, and I think that Congressman Gebhardt will also be now a major factor.
What about the conventional wisdom, it seems, that's been going around, that it would be easier for a Democrat to run against Bush than Dole?
I believe that, and I know Governor Cuomo does too. I think that Vice President Bush doesn't really have a strong message. He tends to talk about his resume rather than his ideas for America's future. I think he is something of an elitist. Certainly we in the Democratic Party don't hold it against somebody that they have an excellent education or come from a privileged background. Franklin Roosevelt, for example, certainly did, but demonstrated his compassion for people, his commitment to moving the nation ahead. But I think it's a liability for a Republican candidate, particularly, I just don't think that Vice President Bush is quite as strong a candidate in appealing to average voters, the kind of voters that don't usually vote in primaries that determine presidential elections in various parts of the country. I think would be more attracted to Senator Dole than Vice President Bush.
This week, Senator Anderson came out in favor of a system of financial reporting for the state legislature, which would be roughly equivalent to that used by the Congress. First of all, do you think that this is something that will be implemented soon? And second of all, you've had some experience as a congressman with that type of reporting system. Just what kind of level of reporting is it?
If Senator Anderson is for it and there isn't a major problem with Speaker Miller, then I would think it will happen. That's the way the legislature works here, and it's hard for me to believe that their conferences would turn them down on a matter of internal administration of the legislative body. So I would think that it will happen. I don't think that the financial reporting is in any way an onerous or burdensome requirement. I never minded as a congressman having all of my financial records available, whatever I spend on computers or staff or other expenditures were the public's money, and I thought the public was entitled to know what I spent. Now, I want it clear that I feel as though I'm a member of the executive branch here at the state level, and I'm not telling the state legislature what they ought to do, but in an era of increased accountability and integrity, I have to compliment Senator Anderson and Speaker Miller for trying to move forward in this kind of a manner, and I think they would do well to look at the experience of other states as well as the Congress of the United States in regard to not only the accounting methods and disclosure, but how you fairly apportion the resources so that legislators can do their jobs adequately and can be responsive to their constituents.
Lieutenant Governor Stan Lundeen. New York's minimum wage was last increased in 1981 to $3.35 an hour. It hasn't been raised since then. Brenda McMahon reports on renewed debate over the minimum wage, this time including the powerful Senate Majority Leader Warren Anderson.
It's been almost 8 years since the minimum wage was increased in New York State, and the current $3.35 an hour has eroded to be valued at no more than $2.68 an hour. In the past, the debate over New York's minimum wage has ignited tense feelings between the business community and lawmakers, yet it continues to come to the forefront of political discussions. But this year, there's a new twist. One of the major obstacles to the increased minimum wage has been knocked away. The state's most powerful Republican leader, Senator Warren Anderson, has thrown his support behind an increase in New York State's minimum wage. Although Anderson has not given any figures, this is the first time since 1981 that he supported such a measure.
It's in all likelihood probably do some increasing of the minimum wage. That gets mixed reviews, the minimum wage alone. Not that the people shouldn't get a better wage than they're getting, but it does squeeze out sometimes some of the lowest paid kinds of employment, and there are losses that occur at that level. But I basically, my philosophy would be that I think that it has stayed at the current level for quite a bit of time, and with inflation and so forth, I think that I would support an increase.
New York's minimum wage is currently lower than many states in the Northeast, including Connecticut, whose minimum wage will be $4.25 as of October, and Massachusetts, whose minimum wage is up to $3.75 an hour. But the loyal opposition to an increased minimum wage is the New York State Business Council, and they still oppose the measure. The Business Council's spokeswoman, Chris McKnight, says they support a federal wage increase, not one set by the state.
It's an issue that is best addressed at the federal level for the sake of uniformity among all of the states. Setting a minimum wage that may be higher than some of the states surrounding New York places businesses in New York at a competitive disadvantage. And this goes as well for Canadian provinces.
When asked if she thought the minimum wage would cause problems this session, McKnight says she isn't sure the increase will go anywhere.
We've been getting some mixed signals from the Senate in the last few days. For example, of course, the Senator Anderson has come out in support of an increase in the minimum wage. However, the chairman of the Senate Labor Committee, Senator Lack, told the Business Council last week that he views the minimum wage issue as a federal issue. So there are still some inconsistencies there that need to be certainly addressed. And we hope to be at the bargaining table and making a positive effort to resolve the issues.
But Connie Varcasia, a spokeswoman for Senator Lack, chairman of the Senate Labor Committee, says Lack supports a minimum wage increase, but he's not determined how much of an increase he wants. Meanwhile, proposals for raising the minimum wage in New York State range from $3.75 an hour, as proposed by Governor Cuomo, to an incremental increase over 3 years, as recommended by Assemblyman Barbaro, chairman of the Assembly Labor Committee. That bill would give $3.85 an hour for the first year, $4.25 for the second year, and $4.65 for the third year of the increase. Although there seems to be a little bit of confusion over what proposal lawmakers support, it looks as though New York's minimum wage has a good chance of being increased during the 1988 legislative session. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Brenda McMahon.
Once again, Fred Dicker, Capitol Bureau Chief for the New York Post, joins us here at the Gazette this week to talk about presidential prospects. If you were Mario Cuomo or a fly on the wall over Mario Cuomo's shoulder while he was writing his diary, what do you think he'd be writing in his diary right now?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question, Al. You know, it just so happens I have in my hand an unofficial and some might say somewhat questionable excerpt from the governor's latest diary. Well, you know, I'm not quite sure whether we should call this the real thing or not, but let me just read a little excerpt from it. This is Mario Cuomo writing in his diary. Boy, do we Democrats have problems. First, this Midwesterner, Gephardt, I think that's his name, wins in Iowa. Then in New Hampshire, my rival next door, Duke Dukakis, he wins big. But at least he didn't get a majority of the vote. I think it's pretty clear, Alan, that the governor knows, as a very interesting poll that we saw up here showed, that if he was in the race, he'd, if not be the front runner, would be number two right now. I think he feels the frustration that someone of his ability, his great speaking potential, has. But on the other hand, I think he realizes that the Democratic Party essentially is in disarray. And I think the reason we haven't seen him endorse anyone yet is not just because maybe he still has some hopes he'll get in, but also because he doesn't know which candidate to go with.
It seems to me that if it's going to be a George Bush race with the Duke, let's just say, I think, you know, Fred, that the Duke has a shot. That's my feeling, that Dukakis is not a bad speaker, that Vice President Bush is a lousy speaker, that if they get into debates, that the comparisons are going to be obvious and that the Duke may do a lot better than people may think.
Yes, and I do know, though, or I do note, though, Alan, that you didn't say you thought he was going to win, that he would do better than people might think. I agree with you. I mean, he's a quality person. He's got reasonably good credentials. He looks good. He's presentable. But there's no way, it seems to me, that the American people, once they focus on the credentials of a guy who's been vice president for 8 years, CIA director, congressman, ambassador to China, and then take a look at a guy who's been governor of Massachusetts one time, and in fact even defeated as governor of Massachusetts, and say they're equal. Now, of course, in the fray, in a campaign, big mistakes can be made. Bush could stumble badly. Dukakis could win. But I think if it is Bush-Dukakis, it's going to be Bush's race to lose. That he'll clearly be the overwhelming favorite, and short of some major mistakes, he'll be the next president.
Well, I agree with you that it's his to lose, but I have no doubt that he may lose it. And I just, if you just permit me a few seconds to answer your long and loquacious description, I think there's no question that he might be able to do it if the economy doesn't do as well as we think, if the smoking gun on Iran scam goes off in his face, if in fact he has a debate. I mean, you do remember Mr. Bush trying to debate Ms. Ferraro in the last election. They were both rotten. They both stank, but I mean, anybody of quality would have beaten his pants off.
Alan, I won't be long and loquacious this time. I'll be short and to the point. I think that the Democratic Party, we've been shown repeatedly, is not a party, a national party, that the American people warms to easily. You get someone from Massachusetts, probably the most left-of-center state in the United States, and that person is vulnerable as a candidate for president.
Yeah, but the Duke isn't.
Duke can easily be tied to the politics of Massachusetts, rightly or wrongly. We're talking about politics here, and everything isn't always done fairly in it, as you well know. But you've got to win in the South, you've got to win in the West. Michael Dukakis ain't exactly a household word right now.
Freddie, far be it from me to think that you're not short and to the point. Now, listen, Fred, here's the other thing about D'Amato.
Good old Al D'Amato.
Now, we've had some interesting things there. D'Amato, who is, of course, a Dole supporter, must be freaking a little bit now.
Well, just quickly on that one, I think Dole did better than most people realize in this primary. The expectations were raised so highly after Iowa, partly because all the polls show it head-to-head. These pollsters and pundits who were predicting that Dole was going to win, I think, did a disservice to a candidate who, after all, did pretty well, because just a few weeks ago, Dole was about 30 points. Dole was about 30 points behind Bush.
Okay, now, Freddie, let's talk about this for a second. Why would D'Amato be saying that Kemp ought to get out of the race
right. And
then run for the Senate seat against Moynihan?
Very simply, Al D'Amato wants to control the New York State Republican Party. He bent over backwards trying to get Rudolph Giuliani to run against Pat Moynihan for the Senate. Giuliani dallied and dallied and dallied, and just a couple of weeks ago finally pulled out, leaving the Republicans in this state without a candidate to run against Moynihan. Obviously, D'Amato is with Dole, not with Kemp. If he could get Kemp out of the race by trying to give him some incentive to run for the Senate, he would do it, and I think that's what he is doing.
Okay, most of the state's major Republican politicians are supporting Bush, and yet the D'Amato camp, in particular, with emphasis, great energy, is supporting Dole. How deep is this going to – what kind of a deep fissure is this going to leave in the Republican ranks?
Yeah, that's a good question. The fissure's been there for some time. The public, I think, generally isn't aware of it, but there really are several important splits in the state Republican Party. Al D'Amato is sort of a politician nonpareil, Long Island-based, very forceful individually, doesn't have that much of an organization, but has a fairly substantial patronage base because of his Senate position. On the other hand, the real power in this state is in the hands of the likes of Warren Anderson, the Senate Majority Leader, and some of the upstate politicians who have not only patronage but a claim to the party loyalty. Keep in mind, D'Amato has endorsed Koch in the past. He's played footsie with Cuomo. A lot of Republicans resent that. What this all means is that Bush is going to do better in this state than he would have otherwise because the organizational support is with him. Those people will get out the votes. D'Amato, I think, in fact, probably went with Dole in part to show that he is different and does have a claim to the leadership of the party. He doesn't yet have the army, though, to take control of that leadership.
Fred Dicker of the New York Post. And that's it for this week's Legislative Gazette. The show was produced by Brenda McMahon. She had help this week from Bruce Robertson and Dave Gillette. We hope you enjoyed the show and that you'll tune in again next week to hear what's happening in and around the Empire State. Until then, I'm Alan Chartok.
The Legislative Gazette is a production of WAMC News. Dr. Alan Chartok is executive producer. This program is made possible with funds provided by the Legislative Gazette, a weekly newspaper on state politics, with student internships available.
Statewide satellite distribution of this program was made possible by the Lawrence Group, providing residents throughout New York State with total insurance coverage.